questions that all of us don't dare. We're dads on the air. We're back, we're dads on the air. And a very warm welcome to Dads on the Air. This is our 10th anniversary show, something of a miracle for a small little program out in Western Sydney, which has now survived for 10 years and become world known as the world's longest running father show, Dads on the Air. It was the middle of the year 2000. I received a phone call which would ultimately lead to this program. The caller was a former police officer called Rick Tawning, better known as Uncle Buck, who's in the studio with us this morning. Uncle Buck.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Stapo.
Good, 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 good. Very good to have you, yes. We've got some of the original members from way back then in 2000 in the studio with us, and we'll be having a number of people calling in through the show. It really is quite a miracle of survival. It was just that phone call, and it was a small group of us, separated blokes who'd been given it a small amount of time on the community radio program 2GLF, and they wanted to do issues like family law, child support and fatherhood issues, which was strongly felt were not being covered very well in the mainstream media. They'd heard, I'm not sure how, that I was a journalist and a separated dad, and subsequently we met up and away Dads on the Air became. What's your memories of those very first shows, Uncle Buck?
Well, it goes back a long time, 10 years ago, and I've got a vivid recollection sitting down there. I was actually a policeman at the time, and I was absolutely disgusted with the public policy in relation to apprehended domestic violence orders, disgusted with the family law courts, intervention and decision-making in relation to children, both of families and de facto relationships, disgusted with the Child Support Agency's policy.
Not alone with that.
And the Department of Community Services didn't miss a Guernsey either. Absolutely disgusted with them. So I thought, well, they're four foundational areas that really weren't getting a men's father's perspective. And it wasn't a woman-hating group. It was formulated out of Dads Australia, which was an activist group, very prominent in the 90s. And when I became involved with Dads Australia, I wanted a radio program to air my grievances under an alias, Uncle Buck, because, as I said, I was a still serving police officer at that particular time. And Christine Finch, I remember Christine, she said she met you at one of the CSA meeting nights.
Right.
And she said, you should talk to John because he's a journalist. I said, well, that's great. So I started off with Ray Lenton, and he did a few months, and you came on board. And for the next probably 2 years, we didn't have the shows recorded on the internet, but we were live, and I've got many of those old recordings still on mini disc.
Yes,
so we'll have to resurrect them from the archives and put them on DVDs and get them on the web.
I think though someone will ultimately do their PhD on us, and some of those initial recordings will be of some interest. I think we rather stretch the tolerance of some of the listeners to begin with.
I think it's fair to say that 2GLS board was very nervous for many years. But we never got sued.
No, not once, in 10 years.
And I think we only ever had one complaint, formal written complaint.
Yes.
And they were wrong.
And they were wrong, of course. Who were they? They were were very upset that we were inquiring about the male suicide rate.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, yes. Very upset about it. None of us had any radio experience at all, that I remember, like none. And it was very difficult. We had to convince people to come out to the studio. We couldn't do phone interviews. So we had to convince any talent to come all the way out to Liverpool, which was quite an exercise.
Yes, and it's a volunteer organisation. It was a volunteer effort. We put our own money into it, both time, money, songs we had to purchase. All the technology was all self-financed, and it speaks volumes for 2GLF having the foresight to be able to persevere with a bunch of radical men.
Radical. I think many of the views that we put forward are pretty damn mainstream.
Justice Alistair Nicholson called us radical.
Oh, did he?
Yes. All men's groups are
badger,
radical.
Badger on it. So we shared much in common, that initial group. Most of all, an overwhelming disgust at what we saw as the rampant bias and, to our minds, outright corruption in Australia's family law system. And we were similarly distressed at what had been so blithely done to our children and the children of so many others, the attempted destruction of the relationship with their fathers. between the fathers and their children. I think we were very fortunate, you know, and Lindsay Jackal, who unfortunately is working this morning, won't be coming on, but Lindsay has been really important in distributing a lot of information on various internet chat lines and news services like Manumit and so on, and Nuance. And it was really obvious from the amount of material that he was putting out that there was plenty of material to be able to put together, firstly a 60 and now 90-minute radio program once a week.
And that was the other thing, John. Back in those early days, we set it as a goal that all the men's groups, which were fragmented throughout Australia, could take the opportunity to get onto the radio and have one voice.
So we've provided an outlet, really, for people like the Shared Parenting Council Australia. Jeffrey Green from that has been a regular guest on the show and will be on later this morning. Sue Price from the Men's Rights Agency, she's been on as a regular. Warwick Marsh from the Fatherhood Foundation and... Barry Williams from Lone Fathers. So none of these people had a vehicle where they could... speak out. We also played a pivotal role in the debate over family law reform in Australia during the first decade of 2000, and as people might remember, there was a major government inquiry in 2003, and ultimately some so-called shared parenting responsibility bill was passed in 2006. We were always critical that that legislation was not strong enough and too easily undone. But we're wrong about one thing. There's been a sort of shift in public perception, I think, and a sort of change in fashionability, really, and that the old style, knock them down and drag them out, divorce, is somewhat out of fashion these days.
Yes, but you do have to acknowledge that in the 10 years that Dad's on the Air is running, we've been fighting an uphill battle, and now the country is run by girls. We've got women at every level, and we might have had a bit of... Howard there, who you know, with the equal shared parenting being taken a little bit more seriously, but it has been a downhill slide into feminism.
Well, I don't know. There's nothing wrong with having women in senior positions. It's about time we had a woman prime minister, for instance, which we do have now. And I don't think you know, it was never cast as a sort of anti-feminist program. We were just concerned with the injustices that had been done to parents, and particularly to dads and their kids. Many stories came to the attention of Dads on the Air, and we broadcast or brought to attention to them as many as we could. The fathers jailed for sending birthday cards to their children, or who had their homes, their only surviving assets, sold from under them because of the lies of their former wives and the viciousness of court decisions. The fathers falsely accused of the most heinous crimes simply to gain advantage in a custody battle. The fathers who spent the rest of their lives grieving for the children they have lost and so often turned against them. And there were so many painful stories which even now remain untold, non-existent in the public imagination. One story we did was an Australian father, Des, who was repeatedly jailed after he became disabled from a car accident while driving up to Brisbane to see his children. His best friend was killed in the accident. His wife refused to bring the children to see him in hospital. And way after the children were adults, a judge had decreed that he was to pay all his child support in one lump sum because he was disabled. And years after the children were adults... The courts were pursuing him to take his house, and how was this in the best interest of the children, we asked. Dads on the Air was born on the cusp of gathering outrage around the globe about family law and child support issues. The child support, a particularly onerous additional tax imposed solely on separated dads, and the family law system, as we saw it, being arbitrary, capricious, secretive and unaccountable. The international outrage reached perhaps its most colourful apogee with the antics of Fathers for Justice, including climbing Buckingham Palace, invading the Parliament House at Westminster and throwing purple powder at the politicians. Bridges across Britain were climbed, traffic brought to a standstill, and of course we interviewed Matthew O'Connor, who was the head of Fathers for Justice at the time, one of the many people that we've interviewed over time. How do you remember it? Or were you a part, for instance, of that 2005 march on Parliament House?
Yes, down in Canberra. Yeah. Yes, that was a memorable occasion too, with the megaphone. Look, it's the apathy of men. They because they've got to work, they've got commitments, they find it hard to be mobilised, and I think a lot of the unions frown upon radical groups and don't release them to be able to participate in venues such as marches unless they're union-related. So it's very difficult to get mobilised a whole heap of men that are suffering from basically it's public policy, the abusive public policy in child support, family court, docs and AVOs. They're the four key areas, I think.
Yeah, I think Australian men are particularly reluctant to put themselves out there.
Well, there was a swing in the public's opinion, and certainly Parliament's, when they brought in the 50-50 shared parenting. I think that was probably one of the better changes in legislation that I've seen in the last 10 years.
We're talking the Howard government.
Yes, the Howard government. At least
Except
they
didn't bring in 50-50. They brought in shared responsibility.
No, but it was the presumptions there. That's the starting point.
Yeah, the judge finally had to consider equal share time, and if he didn't grant equal share time, he then had to consider significant time. So, once again, that didn't restrict the dads to the weekends and half school holidays. But this is a great old reminiscence between a couple of the founders of the show, John Stapleton and Uncle Buck. And we've heard from Ian Purdy, and this is Bill Cable. And we're having a real gathering of the clan today.
Cast of thousands in the studio
cast
today.
Of thousands. We've got Phil York from Dads in Distress.
Yes,
he's been a great steward of the show. And
Peter Vandervoort is waiting in the wings. And
Greg Andreessen.
Yes, he's a researcher.
All the names.
That's not counting all the people we've got calling in shortly. So it's a great show we've got today. And I think just to stir everyone's memories again, we've got an extract from...
Yes, from the first show that was recorded on the internet in, I think, 2003. So we'll play a bit of an excerpt. I think it will probably explain itself. Uncle Buck, do you want to intro this piece? Okay, he doesn't want to. Here we go.
This is your local community radio station with music, community news and information. All day, every day.
Every day.
89.3, 2GLF.
Welcome to the Dads on the Air segment for another beautiful 14th of July 2003 in Australia.
It certainly is. If you're listening to this anywhere else in the world, it certainly is an absolutely beautiful morning in Sydney.
And this segment's brought to you by Uncle Buck and John Stapleton.
God bless me. Okay, first up we're going to look at, this is from the Central Coast edition of the Daily Telegraph, and it's written by Mark Nolan, who's the chief of staff up there on the Central Coast for the newspaper, and this is about the new government inquiry into the joint custody and the operations of the Child Support Agency, and he writes, "It was music to the ears of thousands of Australians whose experience after separation and divorce could only be likened to an emotional hell." Federal member for DeBell, that's up on the Central Coast there, Ken Tysters, who we've had on the show, has won much support from his constituents after his lobbying resulted in Prime Minister John Howard announcing a long overdue review of family law. A parliamentary committee will look at custody and child support arrangements in Australia and examine the possibility of introducing a presumption of shared custody unless circumstances prevent the child or children from having equal time with each parent. Now, that inquiry is on at the moment. If you want to make a submission to that, details on how to make that submission, we'll include them later in the show, but the details are also up on our website at dadsontheair.com, and we very much encourage you to make a submission to that. That's on the 8th of August. This is likely to be the single best opportunity you as an individual will ever have in your lifetime to contribute to changing the nightmare of Australian family law. The formation, writes Nolan, the formation of Australia's first federally funded men's support group, Dads in Distress, which has just started up in Sydney here as well, originated on the Central Coast, or originated in Coffs Harbour, actually.
Well, do you remember the days, Uncle Buck, when we had politicians queuing up to be on the show?
Certainly do, and it was I think the best interview that I recall from that time was probably with Mark Latham at one of the CSA meeting nights that you conducted.
He was a former head of the Labor Party for a brief period.
That's the same fellow. Mm. Yes, and gee, you gave him a bit of a whipping that night. 10 minutes of hell was great.
Well, go on.
Go on. Yes, that inquiry that they referred to, that was fascinating because the original intention of John Howard and the Liberal Party was just to do it in relation to family court matters, but they also implemented, as part of that inquiry, child support reform. came out of the blue. I remember the day when John Howard announced it. He shocked everyone. I don't think the party was even expecting the announcement that would include child support reform. Unfortunately, the child support agencies found other ways to harass payers, which are predominantly men, fathers, and their choice of weapon these days is obviously the departure prohibition orders. But they're still mongrels.
We always call them the utterly despised child support agency.
Well, they're still the Collection and Suicide Agency, CSA, and I don't think anything's changed. They're the most, I think, despised public organisation in Australia.
If arseholes could fly, the child support agency would be an airport.
Well, thank you for that learned contribution, Ian.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to sing my line from Borat any minute too. I hope you're bracing yourselves for that one.
Well, some issues that we've really tried to bring attention to over the years has been the male suicide rate, for instance, and we have for a long time constantly queried the Child Support Agency about their death rate. Now, we had every father's organisation in the country claiming that there was a direct link between the operations of both the family law and child support in this country, which was contributing to that higher death rate amongst separated fathers. And so we thought that the obvious way to determine that was child support payers and what's happening to them, what their death rate is. They have consistently refused to release those figures. This went on over many, many years, and ultimately we made a reasonably educated guess as to the death toll, and that is up on our website. It shows over 12,000 people have died since the Labor government came into power 3 years ago. If those figures are not correct, please publish the real ones. We're more than happy to
correct
those figures.
That's in 20 years, is it, John?
No, that's since the Labor government came to power. Estimate that over 12,000 of the clients have died.
Yes, and they would hide behind the fact that they all have driver's licences or Medicare cards as well, so why are you blaming us?
Well, it's also, I think, an impact of the style of custody order that was traditional in Australia, that it had very poor health consequences. Plus, the operations of the agency meant that many separated dads were living in poverty, which meant they couldn't do all the normal things like go to the dentist or have any self-respect or go to the pub and see their mates or anything. And so it had really deleterious health effects. We're not just talking suicide. It really does impact very badly on these people. We would not exist, Dads on the Air would not exist, if family law was not rampantly barred against fathers, and if we had not all as individuals felt a deep hurt and profound distress over our experiences, and subsequently our personal experiences and the experiences of so many others of Australia's shockingly maladministered and utterly despised child support agency, which just rubs salt into the wounds for so many separated dads. Another hobby horse that we've had is the poor quality of family reports and the misuse of psychiatric evidence within family law. That's been something that we've tried to pursue as effectively as we can. It's a particularly difficult jurisdiction to cover legally, of course, because of
Section 121, the prohibition and publicly naming any aspect of details of the participants.
Mm.
The veil of secrecy, still there.
Still there.
In the best interest of the children.
Well, that means that reporters can't focus on the high-profile cases which might bring attention to the arbitrary nature of the decisions in the jurisdiction, and also just can't air a lot of the personal complaints.
Which is, and brings us to another point that I think you were instrumental in disclosing, John, and that was the 1991, 92, 93 era of the Keating government, when 33 of the 36 judges resigned overnight and were reappointed, and because those documents are under sworn cabinet secrecy for the next, well, another 10 years, I believe, 30-year secrecy provisions there. That was well, it's out there in the public. We'll wait and see what happens to these judges.
Well, it was seen as a breach of the Constitution, which specifically forbids the altering of the retirement age of judges. But family court judges resigned, apart from a few principled exceptions. Four, I think it might have been, that refused to cooperate and thought that it most distinctly was a breach of the Constitution.
Just to clarify that, it was the retirement age as judges at the time for the family court was 65, and Keating deemed it appropriate to have them raise that 65 years to 70 through legislation and not through referenda through the Constitution. Mm. So they resigned en masse and were reappointed, and their superannuation and other privileges and benefits weren't changed.
Well, Dads on the Air has been accused by some women's groups of being a men's rights group. Of course, being somehow evil, while women's rights groups are being applauded. It is nothing of the kind. It is simply a media outlet which focuses on fatherhood issues, encouraging debate and looking at issues from a range of perspectives. The program today is very different to what it once was, and we have made some mistakes, of course, over time. While we continue to follow Australian family law and child support issues more closely than any other media outlet, we also pursue broader debates, you know, men's health, you know, being a new dad like Greg Andreessen out there, whose young son is 15 days old now or something. And we've also managed to attract a new team of people. We know Ian Purdy behind the over there, the DJ impersonator, as he calls himself.
Yes, I'm hardly a team, though. Phil York and Bill Cable, of course, have been major additions to the program over the last couple of years. And before that, of course, Peter Vandervoort gave his support to it. We should actually take a small break and maybe play a Peter Vandervoort tune. We introduced his album onto the show a couple of years back, Our Stolen Children, which is available through our website. This is one of the tracks from the album, Father and Child, Peter Vandervoort.
Intense for both father and child.
The child's been just dead. Happy memories are fire.
It's hard to cope with a life full of stress
that's leaving us empty. Our emotions a mess.
Despite our separation, will keep us together. Help us to grow. Hey, all you children who don't see your dad, we both need each other to share what we have. Fathers love their children as much as mothers do. We must fight this injustice for me and for you. There will come a time before we're too old.
You'll sit down together, Dad, and the truth will be told.
We'll discover the lies that have kept us apart.
No more will they try stealing what's in our hearts.
And so we will conquer betrayal and pain. Questions of why is it so? And sooner or later, the truth we will know. Hey, all you children who don't see your dad, we both need each other to share what we have. Fathers love their children as much as mothers do. We must fight this injustice for me and for you. Hey, all you children who don't see your dad, we both need each other to share what we have. Fathers love their children as much as mothers do. We must fight this injustice for me.
I'm doing the best I can, kids.
Love you, miss you, Dad.
Just remember, there's always two sides to every story.
grow so fast. You have to cherish every moment.
Please, Daddy.
You have a right to be involved in the life of your child. Dad's in Distress, 1300 853 437.
We're back with Dad's on the Air.
Welcome back to Dad's on the Air in this special 10th anniversary show. And we've been hearing from some of the founders of the show, from John Stapleton and Uncle Buck. And we've got a some guests lined up that'll be calling in a moment. John, you were just speaking then about some of the changes over the years.
Well, it's hard to imagine now because we've had a whole decade of people, both just in Australia and around the world, in Britain and in America and so on. There's been a real growth of people speaking out about this. But when we started, it was really, we felt really, there was nothing around. We felt really brave. We'd sort of dare to say something, you know, critical of family law, and then think, oh God, the federal police are going to arrest us as we walk out the door or something. You know, we always thought something terrible was about to happen to us, or I certainly felt that way. And it was a really courageous thing, which now, of course, you know, there's a Men's News Daily and there's all sorts of different sites around the world and lots of different fathers groups of growing up all around the place. But back then there was almost nothing. Is that your memory of it, Uncle Buck?
It is, John. And the sad part was a lot of people in government departments who had never been affected by the public policy were actually against us. Mm. And treated us with some contempt. And I think that those first few years were absolutely foundational. And you were actually pushing the envelope quite a bit. You wanted to go before court to get the issue out there. So I don't know whether you being scared is such a fair statement.
Scared. Well, I don't know, but we were keen to push the envelope. There was just so little in the mainstream coverage. Do we have Stephen Baskerville on the line? He's one of the world's best known spokesmen on gender family law issues. Are you there, Dr. Baskerville?
Perfect. Hello.
Hello. Thank you very much for coming back onto Dad's on the Air for the anniversary show.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's always a pleasure to be here.
So how do you perceive that things have altered in the 10 years that we've been broadcasting?
Well, I would like to say that things have been getting better, but I don't see any evidence of that. I think, if anything, things have been getting worse, not only for fathers, but I think that many of the abuses that are taking place in family court against fathers are actually widening out now and are being used against other people in society as well. Excuse me, I see it being used against people like homeschoolers, parents in tax families. In Britain, there's been a number of scandals involving the confiscation of children from the homes of innocent parents. Here in the United States, a few days ago, a child was snatched, a newborn child was snatched from her parents because the father was alleged to be a member of a perfectly legitimate and legal organization. But the social workers believed that it was an extremist organization, so they snatched his children and his wife's children. Daughter.
What was the organization?
The organization, I forget what it was. It was a legal organization. People who, I think it was law enforcement officers who had sworn to uphold the U.S. Constitution and refused to obey orders that would violate the Constitution, which simply means they simply obey their oath of office, which is to defend the Constitution. So for defending your oath, for upholding your oath of office and defending the Constitution, you now get your children taken away. So it's not just fathers anymore. This is threatening the general population. And it's time for people to wake up, and not just in the United States or Britain, but throughout the Western world.
So do you think programs like ours have made any difference at all? The number of websites now, the number of voices raised in concern, including your own?
I think it does make a difference. I don't mean to be defeatist about it by any means. I think the situation is getting both better and worse. It's getting worse in the sense that the abuses are getting more widespread. The government is becoming more high and mighty. The governments of the Western world are all becoming more high and mighty, better funded, more arrogant. Mm. At the same time, the citizens are starting to wake up. at the same time. So I think we're headed for some kind of confrontation at some point. Sometimes I think it's coming to a head, and it's beginning to reach general awareness. So I think on the whole, we may be headed for some kind of crisis, but it may be that it will be resolved for the best.
Particularly in America, where you jail so many child support payers for non-paying, which we don't do here. So that you're seeing a lot of high levels of incarceration of separated men, aren't you?
Yes, yes. There's an awful lot of abuse of parents being incarcerated, and the enormous amount of money that are driving the child support system, driving the divorce rate, driving the level of the confiscation of children is really quite appalling. On the other hand, there are a number of journalists now writing about this, so it is becoming increasingly well known.
Right. So what? Where to from here, really?
Well, what I think is this. As you say, there's quite a lot more websites. There's quite a lot more fathers that are aware. What I think needs to be done is they need to start forming coalitions and alliances with other groups that have stood up to government tyranny and government abuse. Here in the U.S., I think I'm sure you've heard of the Tea Party movement. Mm. I think there's a lot of fathers involved in that, but I think a lot more need to make it known why they're involved and link the abuses that the family courts and the social service bureaucracies with the other abuses that governments are perpetrating. So it's not just and let the world know that it's not just fathers that are being victimized by this, but it's the general population is in danger.
What about the role of corporations? You say the governments are doing all of this, but I mean, what about corporations, the way they've got into the food chain and they're marketing, you know, poisonous food to our children and all the computer games and all of this that are basically, you know, corporate ethics seem to have permeated our society, and there doesn't seem to be any way for parents to protect their children from this onslaught of advertising of immoral, unhealthy products. What do you think about that aspect?
I think it's probably quite true. On the other hand, I think that parents are perfectly capable of protecting their children from just about anything if the government allows them to. Most of the time, parents are forcibly prevented from protecting their own children by these courts and social workers.
You could say that the family unit has been broken by the courts, that the divorce, and now that fathers are grateful if they can get any time at all with their children, but most of that time is polluted by the fact that the children want to eat junk food, drink sugar drinks, and play computer games. To go out and kick a ball with them, for example, is pretty much unheard of. They look at you as if you're an alien from another universe if you suggest that they should go outside and kick a ball.
Yeah. No, I'm sure that's true. On the other hand, I don't fear too much for the cultural onslaught. The cultural onslaught is something parents can protect their children from if they're allowed to do so. I mean, what I'm worried about is the culture is going to destroy our children only when the parents have their hands tied behind their back, which is what the government has done here and in Australia and Britain and elsewhere. We can't protect our children from the culture or anything else if the government's got our hands tied.
Stephen, you've been writing about this for many years now. What keeps you motivated to maintain this, the rage, if you like, and keep writing about the issue?
Well, it never quite goes away. This is the worst tyranny that has ever been that's been created in the Western world in modern times. This is the most repressive government machinery that's ever been created in the United States, certainly. And I think it's true of many other Western, certainly Anglophone countries. Never has a machinery this repressive ever been created in the United States, or in Britain, for that matter. And this is the worst tyranny in the industrialized world, and it's only going to spread and become worse.
It does seem to raise its head in all those Western countries, as you say. I was talking to someone from Ireland recently who'd been incarcerated for non-payment of child support, very similar to you, the description of what you said is happening in the US.
All right, we've got a fairly tight program, so I'd really like to thank you for coming on the show. That's Professor Stephen Baskerville, who is the author of Taken Into Custody and quite a number of other books. All you have to do is look up him up on the web, and there's numerous articles, and he's been one of the most consistent and prolific, I might say, voices around these topics for some years now. Thank you very much for coming on to Dad's on the Air.
It's my pleasure. Good luck to you.
Thank you. We'll be back in a moment.
Stress meet in your area every week. If you're a non-custodian parent and would like to know who to contact or just want someone to talk to, help is just a phone call away. Dads in Distress, 1300 853 437 or dadsindistress.asn.au.
We're back with Dads on the Air.
Welcome back. It's 11:08 on a beautiful October morning, and we have Sue Price from the Men's Rights Agency. Uncle Buck speaking. Sue, how are you today?
Good morning, Uncle Buck. Do I say happy birthday? I'm certainly not going to sing it for you. Congratulations on making it to 10 years. That's a wonderful achievement for all the crew. And the program has certainly made a considerable difference, I think, in putting out the information for people to understand what's going on in the breakup of families and the denial of fathers being able to spend time with their children.
Yes, well, for the next 5 minutes, let's recap Men's Rights Agency. You and your husband were with the foundation, members of that organisation.
We started it back in 1994, that's right, Uncle Buck. We decided that there was nothing here for men at all in Australia in those days, or very little, should I say. In Brisbane, we had 34 organisations, mostly funded by the government, that serviced women's requirements, but absolutely nothing for men. So we thought we could perhaps help. We could perhaps find some avenues for fathers to be able to ensure that they were able to stay in their children's lives, which is the important part.
Absolutely, and of course, Men's Rights Agency, well known throughout Australia, operating in Queensland, with probably one of the peak organisations these days.
I would like to think so. We are a national organisation as well, Uncle Buck. Even though we run from Queensland, we're not in a position to run offices in each state, but we do have services in each state for people.
Absolutely disgraceful that the government haven't approached you for some government funding.
Oh, I wouldn't take it from Uncle Buck either. Even if they did, my soul is not for sale, put it that way.
Yes.
And I think that's what they do with a lot of organisations. They do fund them because then they can control what they say and their output of press releases and commentary. It's a well-known factor that this is what they do, and we weren't prepared to be involved in that.
So what are some of the successes over the last, well, certainly the last decade that we've been on the air that Men's Rights Agency has been involved with?
Well, I think we were probably the primary organisation pushing for shared parenting, even in the days before people didn't think of shared parenting at all. We considered that men who were coming to us, fathers who were coming to us, hadn't actually asked for shared parenting and they weren't being advised to do so. So we had on board, particularly in Brisbane here, a couple of solicitors who developed strategies with us to ask for shared parenting and to support the notion of it. And we were actually getting shared parenting through the courts for a lot of the fathers that came to us. So, you know, I think we were probably leading in that field a long time before it was even put onto the agenda.
In relation to the four foundation, well, pillars that the government relies on to control men, and I speak of the Family Law Court, I speak of the Child Support Agency, the Department of Community Services and Police AVOs, Apprehended Violence Orders.
Yes.
Do you see that they're still interrelated, connected in any way, or do you think there's been one particular area of public policy that has taken over and become more discriminatory and victimising fathers and men?
No, they're all running in tandem, I'm afraid, Uncle Buck. They're... we identified early in the piece about the domestic violence, and I went on the attack with it, so much to my danger, I suppose, to ourselves as an organisation, because immediately we became a target for all the women's organisations, domestic violence people, who tried to close us down. And in actual fact, in those early days, the Office for the Status of Women gave a $10,000 grant to a man called Ben Pennings to actively lobby against our activities. Now, that's an outrageous situation. Imagine if that had been given to a men's organisation to lobby against women's activities, how that would be viewed. But, of course, when we found out about it and we complained, it was all, oh, you know, yes, it was an oversight, shouldn't have happened, but that was the end of the story.
So, good morning, it's Bill Cable.
Morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And first of all, I wanted to thank you for being such a reliable and valuable contributor to our show.
Thank you, Bill.
And I suppose one question for you is, we asked someone else earlier, what keeps driving you after 16 years of fighting? You've still got a bit of fight in you. I'm just wondering, is it your cornflakes or what is it?
I'm not sure, Bill. I think you become sort of involved, so engrossed in it that you can't actually stop. And it is, look, it is a considerable injustice what happens to people when they separate. I still fail to see, I know you're a lawyer, I still fail to see how any government can legislate against a perfectly good parent and say that they cannot see their children for equal amounts of time. I just can't understand it. It is an absolute moral indignation. It's an appalling abuse of human rights. And, of course, it's damaging to the children as well. So, you know, that's, I suppose, where we come from.
Well, we hope you, as I said, we hope you've still got that fight in you, because you've kicked a number of goals and you've inspired a lot of people, including me, to go on with it and not to just fall in a heap.
Look, I'm just one of the cogs in the wheel, I think, Bill. You know, there are so many. It's like the role that Dads on the Air has played. It's been remarkable. You know, you stand up there with the Glenn Sachs of this world, the Warren Farrells. You know, it's a matter of getting the information out to people. I've been talking to some journalism students of recent days, and I'm very pleased to see that they're starting to ask the right questions And if this new generation of journalists coming through continue to ask the questions, the information will get out, and that's information that's vitally needed about what's happening in family separation.
Sue, Uncle Buck, just one last question from me before we let you go back to your busy schedule. Where to now for the next decade? What's happening with Men's Rights Agency, and what do you believe is the movement in public policy?
Backwards, unfortunately, Uncle Buck. I pull no punches about that. I'm quite sure that the Labor government is focused on rolling back the shared parenting changes at the coercion of the women's groups who've been accusing the family court of giving children to violent men, whereas, you know, that's might happen in one or two cases, but not by any means in the majority. Unfortunately, the family court fails to realise that, unfortunately, mothers can be the major perpetrators of abuse of children, and they don't recognise that, unfortunately. So we've got problems. I need to encourage everybody to get back on board. Don't go to sleep. You've had your rest. We thought we'd achieved a bit with the shared parenting. That didn't go far enough. We now need to consolidate that, and we need to be pushing for more changes to further enact the shared parenting so that it can't be mucked around with.
That's with Sue Price from the Men's Rights Agency. She's been one of the leading spokesmen on fatherhood issues over the last 20 years, I'd say, and... Yes, it's been a very courageous voice and taken a lot of courage, and we've all learnt to respect her greatly over the years.
Is that John?
That is John.
Welcome back, John.
thank you.
Lovely to hear from you.
All right, it's a busy show. We've got to keep moving, but yes. Very good. Thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thanks, Sue.
All right, we now have Geoffrey Green from the Shared Parenting Council of Australia on the line. You there, Geoffrey?
Yes, good morning, John, Bill, Uncle Buck.
How you going, Jeff?
And many congratulations for 10 years of a fantastic effort.
Well, we all feel like it's a miracle of survival, I tell you. It's been a very, very tender, narrow thread at times.
Well, yes, but an extremely important one in the communication issues, or the communication of these issues over the last decade. It's been fantastic, and we thank you.
Well, there were certainly times when politicians, partly due to your wonderful networking abilities, just were queuing up to come on to Dad's on the Air. That I must say the current government hasn't shared the enthusiasm. Efforts to get child support ministers and the Attorney General, Robert McClellan, on the show have been just completely ignored. They don't even bother to respond to our requests these days.
No, that's a sad indication of where their mindsets may be in the current situation. So,
but I certainly remember many of them, Jeannie Ferris and so on, were all queuing up. Philip Ruddock, the former Attorney General, came on a number of times.
Yes, I mean, Christopher Pyne as well. Yes, I mean, you had a stream of them, so all very senior people. But that was just a reflection of how important that issue was to the Australian people. And I don't think there's any bigger reflection of how important this issue is to the Australian people by the fact that the initial inquiry in 2003 was raised in Parliament and put at question time, you know, the leading forum of the Parliament by the Prime Minister himself. And I think that that's a sort of testament to the work that, you know, you and others had done up and leading up until that point. So, you know, I don't understand the current government's view. I tend to agree with Sue. I think probably they're, if anything, they're looking to wind back, although in the current political environment they would find that an extraordinarily difficult political path at the moment.
You'd have to ask some Greens and some red-necked independents about who's actually running the country though, Jeff.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I think that's yet to be determined, Uncle Buck. Having said all of that, you know, vigilance is critical from, you know, all our points of view. You know, it was sort of 7 years of Shared Parenting Council, a bit over 7 years, 7.5 years Shared Parenting Council was formed. And it's still, you know, the job is not done. Vigilance is still required, and Sue's absolutely right about that too. All the groups and everybody needs to be on top of, you know, any attempt to wind back what was quite really modest and incremental reform in that period. And I mean, there's more to be done than the other, in the direction of improving things, let alone undoing them.
Well, the Shared Parenting Council was enormously influential in combining a really disparate and atomised and largely unfunded group of men's and pro-family groups. How difficult was it to organise, and how influential do you think the Shared Parenting Council has been ultimately?
Well, John, the difficulty of that was, often referred to as herding cats. And in a sense, there were a lot of groups with a lot of different, perspectives and a lot of different personalities. But fundamentally below all of that, while there were differences on other issues, there was clear unity of purpose in relation to getting better outcomes for children with their parents, both parents, and particularly towards a shared parenting outcome. On that basis, it was, my objective at the time was to narrow the issues between all of those groups and get support for the issue that everybody supported. And once we achieved that and, had a clear, distinctive agenda for the Shared Parenting Council, it was a much easier task. Now, as far as its influence is concerned, I guess it was essentially the first time that whilst there are a lot of groups, including Sue's Men's Rights Agency and the Lone Fathers Association and a range of other groups that were around and doing hard on the ground, at the coalface work, we were free from that requirement. We're able to concentrate purely and simply on the communication of the media message and communication and lobbying of politicians, and I think that was also sort of a secret for us to be able to convince the government of the day that an inquiry at least was needed, and submit to that inquiry and get law reform in the family law area. Some might argue not far enough, but certainly substantially better than what was previously in place.
Of course, we from the comfort of punditry have been one of those that said it all didn't go far enough, but then we didn't have to deal with the actual realities on the ground. We were just there to throw stones or to encourage what we saw as the right way to go. Anyway, look, we've got a fairly tight show, so I was wondering if you could just wind up, say some kind words about the influence we may or may not have had.
Well, John, all of you, Uncle Buck Bill, it was a fantastic ability for us to be able to have a dialogue with the community and with our elected representatives through your program. It was a significant part of our communication mix. I think that it was also a significant part of keeping faith with, those people who've been so poorly disaffected by the family law regime and the distress and emotional distress that they were suffering through loss of contact with their children. And I don't think that the Shared Parenting Council could have been as effective without Dads on the Air. And I say it's a testament to you to be there 10 years. That's a phenomenal task. I believe the longest running show of such a kind in the world. And we've just been very proud and to be part of that at various times over the years. While the job is not finished, I don't know that it ever will be, we hope you're there in the years to come as we proceed through the next sort of maze of legislative reforms that could possibly be before us.
All right, we're out of time. Thank you very much, Geoffrey.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Geoffrey.
Thanks, Jeff.
Now we're going to play a bit of music from Thailand, and we have young Ek from Bangkok here in the studio. He's just going to introduce this piece of music.
สวัสดีครับวันนี้ผมมาประเทศออสเตรเลียครั้งแรกนะครับ First Time นะครับผมมีเพลงมิวสิกของออกัสเบียเจียเบญจพรมาฝากนะครับWhat a time to live.
Dad's in Distress, meet in your area every week. If you're a non-custodian parent and would like to know who to contact or just want someone to talk to, help is just a phone call away. Dad's in Distress, 1300 853 437 or dadsindistress.asn.au.
We're back with Dad's on the Air.
Welcome back to Dad's on the Air this sunny 12th day of October 2010. And this is the special 10-year anniversary show. And our next guest is John Flanagan. John, are you there?
Yeah, for sure, yeah. It's John Flanagan here from the Non-Custodial Parents Party Equal Parenting. I'd just like to congratulate the Dads on the Air team for the 10 years that they've been on the show, and I think it's a great achievement.
Well, thank you, John, and thank you for being a guest on the show. I know in the last election you achieved, I think, the best results ever for your party, didn't
we
you?
We did, actually, yeah, for sure. We had less candidates because we had less time to prepare. We only had four candidates as opposed to the previous years where we've had up to 10, and sometimes even in the first election we had 26 candidates, but we certainly improved our votes. Like in my electorate, my vote increased by 2.5 times. So we're very happy with the result.
Yeah, 250%. Well, look, in the studio today, we've got a special guest, Uncle Buck from the early days.
Yeah, I remember Uncle Buck, yeah.
For there you go, John.
Uncle Buck for a while, but it's good to hear his voice.
Well, the Non-Custodial Parents Party, Andy Thompson and yourself have been very active over the last, well, Andy, 15 years, and you certainly over the last decade have been instrumental in raising the profile of those unfortunate children that are denied access to either their father and also mothers, probably in a lower percentage, but they're also denied contact or access to their children after separation or divorce. And you've raised that profile. How have you done it, John?
Well, basically is that we, by standing candidates at the election, we do get publicity for these issues. Andrew Thompson, who you just mentioned, is our party secretary, and Andy was one of our two Senate candidates at this election. And in that way, we're able to get two of the main issues raised before the public, and that's the consideration of equal time shared parenting and the abolition of the Child Support Agency. Now, we think they're the two necessary changes that have to be made before we can make progress.
Yeah, I don't think you get any disagreement there. It's been a common theme of the people we've spoken to this morning, John, and this is a special show. We're going back over what's been happening in the last 10 years and what the way forward is. And what do you see from your perspective is the way forward from here?
Well, I think just going back on the 10 years, I think one of the defining moments was the speech presented by the Dads on the Air team to the Lone Fathers Conference in Canberra on the 9th of August 2007. And I remember the words quite well. Equality is equality. It means treating people equally. And I don't think that's changed. I think we need to move forward in that same direction that Ian Purdy and Peter van der Waart and John Stapleton made quite clearly in that speech in Canberra. For example, I think we need to have rather than just a consideration of equal time shared parenting that we have now in the legislation, we actually need a rebuttable presumption of equal time shared parenting in the legislation. That's so that there's no confusion with the present judgments that are coming out of the court. And the other one too is that a lot of people won't agree with me or agree with us, but we need to have the Child Support Agency abolished. It's just not working. Too many people are out of work, too many people not seeing their kids because of the child support scheme.
It's a sacred cow, though, isn't it, John? And until it can be shown to be economically not viable, and that means by either a class action against the Child Support Agency's corrupt practices or alternative public policies put in place, it's here to stay and until it's killed off.
Well, we're finding that, like this year in particular, we're finding a lot of our members are simply not going to file a tax return. That's because of the there's three items now that are going to be included in the child support taxable income. That's the salary sacrifice contributions, the employee share scheme payments, and net investment losses are all going to be added back in as from the 1st of July this year. Now, that's going to add $5,000 to $10,000 more to a person's child support liability without that person receiving any extra income. So we're finding that people are simply not filing tax returns because they're finding that the increased burden of the extra liability can't be met by their existing resources, yeah?
Yeah, and just to round off, John, I know you won't give yourself a pat on the back, but I'll give you one because it's people like you and Mark Whittaker up in Queensland that have been proactive in the public forum, that is the courts, in taking on the legislation, these government departments, and making it an even more high profile, seeking loopholes and also establishing or attempting to establish the fact that their decision-making processes are flawed, the formula's flawed for child support assessments, and basically, if it wasn't for men like you and Mark Whittaker and others that have also challenged these bureaucracies in the federal and high courts, well, we wouldn't be getting anywhere, quite frankly.
Well, look, you've mentioned Mark Whittaker, and that's, you know, Mark's a very important person, is that the child support agencies have been taking the tax file information from child support payers illegally since 2001. Mark has consistently tried to point this out to the courts without success.
All right, we're out of time.
No worries.
Thank you so much for coming onto the show. That was John Flanagan from the Non-Custodial Parents Party, Equal Share, Equal Parenting Party these days.
And, okay, thank you very much,
and,
John.
And also raised a lot of issues about child support. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, thank you very much for having me on. Okay,
thanks, John.
Bye-bye.
Next up, we have Barry Williams. He's the president of the Lone Fathers Association of Australia and been a very, very significant figure historically in Australia's struggle for family law reform and for fathers. You there, Barry?
Yes, how are you? And congratulations on your 10 years of great radio for dads and kids.
Oh, thank you, Barry. That's been very
kind of
you.
It's always been a pleasure to talk, speak to you guys. You do such a great job.
Thank you so much. That's kind of you. It's certainly, we felt like a voice in the wilderness to start with, I can tell you now.
Yeah.
You must have felt exactly the same when you began.
Well, I still get disillusioned. I mean, I look at family law and there's no doubt about it. There has been improvements, but the improvements get overshadowed. You get a couple of months of positive stuff, and then all of a sudden, because we're starting to win, these clowns of governments give all these bloody extreme feminist researchers and some men feminist researchers too, to come out and undermine the work we do. As soon as we look like winning and getting fair rights and that, they got their sickening attitude that children don't need dads in their lives, and they try to upheave and unravel the good work that groups like us and others have done around the country, you know.
Yes, well, we certainly felt very much out on a limb when we began, and I forget the year now, but you were the very first father in Australia to get the sole parenting pension, for example.
Yeah, that was back in 76, but this is my 39th year of this. I'm determined to make 40 years of it. And, you know, we have some very good things coming up. At our last conference, it was unanimously voted. There is 6 discrimination acts we are preparing now for the government and the previous government, which we are telling them to tidy up immediately, or we're going to take class actions out against them. The first one is we need a family access enforcement agency, where the courts have failed to even try, in many cases, to try to enforce access for the parent who is not living with the children. Even when there's court orders, they've paid hundreds of thousands of dollars in cases to get those orders. And the Attorney General promised 2 years ago that they were working on enforcement orders. Well, we haven't seen them yet, so we're going to really push that. And an Office of Status of Men, equal funding for men's organisation and services women. We support women's services and their funding, but it's far outdoes any funding for men, something like $200 million more a year. And we want to stop the discrimination in government advertising on domestic violence, because domestic violence is also created by many women, and the government only ever uses taxpayers' money illegally when they're saying no violence against women and children. And we've also just worked on a new legislation, the child support, on days versus nights. We believe when dads have the kids of a daytime, they're doing equally amount of time that the mum has them at night time, and it should cut out where in those sort of areas.
We've also got Greg Andreessen in the studio. He's been one of the major researchers for Dads on the Air in recent years, and one of the newer members of it. He's done a fantastic job for Dads on the Air with the creation of a new website, dadsontheair.net, and just on the domestic violence issue, how do you think that is going? You've been...
Well, pardon me, listeners. As you know, me and a number of colleagues are also working on a campaign called One in Three, which is basically based around the statistic that one in three victims of family violence are male. And we were really pleased to see the other day that the federal government, and this is the first time in history that I believe any federal government has even acknowledged that male victims exist, but the federal government has made an election pledge to fund, to the tune of $750,000, Men's Line Australia, specifically to support male victims of domestic violence. So I really feel that our work and the work of people like and Jim Carter at the Lone Fathers is actually, you know, it's small steps, but it is making a difference on the domestic violence front.
Well, it has to be, because, look, I'm preparing a book. I'm starting it, and it's going to be called 40 Years of Family Law in Australia. It's not going to be a kind book. About 17 families have gave me permission to name their sons in it already, who have committed suicide over not being able to see their children. They were blackmailed. They paid lawyers fortunes in getting access orders. The court just put their thumbs up at them. And, you know, and these were good men that loved their children, and they didn't deserve to have to take their own lives because of this. And it's got to stop. It's just got to stop. It's just a multi-billion-dollar racket. And... I was very disappointed to hear that one of the independents was evidently speaking to us the other day, and I don't know whether this is true or not, but I believe that you spoke to him about the violence, and he said, well, he has his own attitude on that. Well, I've contacted that independent, and I've asked him to give me an appointment, even if I have to go up to his electorate. And I said, if you don't take these discrimination factors seriously, what we're putting, I will come to your electorate and I'm going to do a radio program there and paper an ad in one of the local papers and tell your constituents that you're taking a one-sided view on this and you're only supporting one sex and you're not a good candidate. And I've made that quite clear to them, and that's what I'm doing. Bob Catter went to one of our meetings in Atherton the other night, and he said, I'm very glad to come to a Lone Fathers meeting. I always am. And he said, I will certainly put a bill and support a men's minister. So hopefully, you know, these guys will go along with him in that, and maybe we might be able to get some action.
All right, we've got a fairly tight show, Barry, so we'll have to wind up shortly.
Again.
But, yes, just do you think we've made any difference at all?
I think we've made difference, mate, but as I said, look... You've got people who are dead set on destroying shared care. There's a movement out there, you know, that's not shared care, it's shared responsibility with the possibility of getting shared care. And there's movements out there from high-flying, one ex-judge stating that it's not good for children. Then they try to lie later on and say we're not against shared equal time, you know.
All right, that was Barry Williams. He was he still is the president of the Lone Fathers Association and one of the most significant figures in Australia, and certainly the grandfather of the fatherhood movement in Australia, and been a regular guest on Dads on the Air over the last decade. So thank you very much for coming on to our anniversary show.
Thank you, and thanks. Congratulations again. Bye.
Bye. And we have another guest.
Hello.
Hello.
Is this the Honourable John Stapleton?
Oh, I recognise that voice. Warwick Marsh. How are you?
Are we on air?
Yes, Warwick, we are. You are indeed.
With all our flaws.
Everyone's listening to you, Warwick, so make it good.
It's the 10th anniversary show.
You know, the biggest bull arse in the world. How can I make it good?
That's what we got you on for, Warwick. Come on now.
Come on, some
of your pearls, please.
Listen, all I can say is you guys are all legends, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. It's a great honour to be on this 10th anniversary show of Dads on Air. Dads on Air has been a proverbial light on the hill, as one famous speechwriter purloined the phrase from our dear friend Slim Dusty. And, of course, that light on the hill has not been a semi-trailer or a train running through the tunnel towards us, but it's been a ray of hope in a very hopeless world. And the ray of hope has been that men do matter, that men have got a voice, and that men have got feelings and that men do care for their children. And all I can say is congratulations, congratulations, congratulations. It's great to follow on from Barry Williams. I heard a little bit of his last bit of the interview, and yes, you're right, John, to say he is the grandfather of the fatherhood movement. I just, even this last few weeks, I've just been thinking, how did the guy keep it up? How did the guy keep it up in the face of no money, no support, only people wanting to stab him in the back and wanting to kill him? And I'm talking about the fatherhood movement now. I'm not talking about the people that hate us. I'm talking about the people that are supposed to be with us. How did he do it, John? How did he do it?
I don't know.
And you've accepted a lot of attacks in your time yourself, and you've just kept on, keeping the show going. And, of course, you've got a wonderful band of brothers that have kept the show going, and while you've been sort of holidaying on an extended period in wonderful Bangkok. And it's really great to have you back in the country, John. It really is.
Mm, thank you.
Mm. So who have you talked to this morning?
Oh, we've had Sue Price from Men's Rights, Jeffrey Green, your dear self.
Stephen Basketball, John Flanagan. We've had a whole list of miscreants on this morning's program, headed by your good self.
And have you had one of my dearest friends and who is a member of the Honourable Ratbag Society, Greg Andreessen?
I'm here, Warwick. How are you, mate?
Oh, it's really good to hear that voice, Greg. And, Greg, you are a father too.
I'm finally... This is the first time I've been able to come on Dad's on the Air officially as a dad. So, you know, it's making history, not only the 10th anniversary show, but I'm finally a father of 2 weeks now and loving every minute of it.
That's great. It's really great to have a new voice... not so much a new voice, but certainly a new new heart, beating heart, along with your heart, Greg, and I'm sure you can speak even more strongly for the cause. I just got a email from Greg. Well, you've sent it through, Greg, this morning from, is it Greg Poole?
Glenn Poole, in the UK.
A voice for men in UK, and when you get home, you'll read the email, and I said, you know, this guy's speaking up for men and boys and talking about how incredibly, you know, just what's the word for it? Disorientated and disrespected, and you know, just the bias against men and boys is just unbelievable. You know, it's unbelievable. It's everywhere. Everywhere in our society, but no one can see it. And this guy in England has just set up this society, and he's fighting it. And Greg sent that email around, and of course. It really is encouraging, Greg. Thank you for all the work you've been doing personally, and thank you for setting up 3-in-1, and or is it 1-in-3?
1-in-3, yeah.
I'll get it right eventually.
Absolutely.
1-in-3, and again, thank you for exposing and getting the Ombudsman to expose the incredible bias in the system in South Australia. And I'll just tell you one story, and I've probably only got one more minute left.
Yes.
I had a phone call from a Sunday Telegraph journalist, woman journalist, and she wants me to help her with a story about what men suffer in the workplace when they have a baby and the discrimination they face. And I said, well, listen, I'll help you with that story, but what about the discrimination they face, you know, in family law and also in this whole domestic violence area? And, you know, do you realise that these other papers have covered this story? Would you consider covering it? And you know what her answer was?
What's that?
She just said, well, you know, obviously my other papers have thought they should cover it, but, you know, I don't think we're going to cover it. And that's just the incredible bias you have when, you know, a journalist rings up looking for a story that suits her about bias. And I've sent out my information to, you know, to try to help her. I'm still helping her. But she refuses to cover the real deep bias, which, of course, you've exposed in South Australia against men. And, look, guys, again, I've probably only got one more minute. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your effort, Greg, and all the guys there. And there's many other people behind the scenes helping at Dad's on Air. And it's just a great honour to work with you. Of course, we have a Greens Party now that's advocating the official rollback, and a Labor Party that probably unofficially wants to roll it back as quick as it can if they could. And of those wonderful, but impotent shared parenting laws. And we just need people like you to keep on going. So keep up your great work, and all I can say is God bless you and keep it up.
That was Warwick Marsh from the Fatherhood Foundation. Thank you, Warwick.
All the best.
Good.
Bye.
now. I'm not sure what we're doing now, to be
honest.
Well,
now I think we should review a song by Horizon Shine, which was recorded specifically for the Dads on the Air program. I'll play what I think is Horizon Shine's best piece today. This is a track called My Boy, and we're going to dedicate this to Greg Andreessen and his newly born son.
Welcome back to Dad's on the Air this 12th day of October 2010. And we have a special guest on the show for us with us now, and this is Tony Miller.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Well, thank you. Tony, you've still got that government medal hanging around your neck, have you?
No, I don't have it hanging around my neck. I've got it stashed away somewhere. I don't even, you know, it's hidden away.
Well, look, as we've said before, well-deserved, and... Tony, this is our 10th anniversary show, you might have heard. And
yes.
As a special part of that, we've got Uncle Buck here in the studio with us. He's been here from the start, and I know he wants to say hello to you.
How you going, Tony?
G'day, Uncle Buck. How are you, mate?
Good to speak to a mighty man of God, too.
That's all right, mate.
You're a champion.
Thanks, mate.
Dad's in Distress. You were the foundation member for Dad's in Distress. What drove you to form that organisation?
Oh, mate, look, simply, you know, I went through the same thing, mate, as everybody else, or, you know, half the population anyway. You know, going through a bit of divorce, separation, and grief over losing the kids. And,
and simply, you know, trying to keep in contact with my kids and you know, trying to make some sanity out of a system that seems to push men down to nothing but a wallet and that's about it, you know. No emotion, no you know, no connection.
You're basically just the wallet for the government to repay the debt that they're giving out in Centrelink benefits.
Unfortunately, that's the way it seems to be. Yeah.
Certainly, from your perspective, was it harder from a rural community to get any support and certainly a lack of infrastructure to help men out in the bush?
There's nothing there, and there's still nothing there. You know, I'm up in Brisbane at the moment. I'm actually standing in a pouring rain in a place called Woolloongabba, just out of the city. I can see the city from here. I'm up here sort of, you know, pushing politicians and pushing everyone I can to come to the realisation I've been homeless, you know, for a few months and I'm just starting to get back on my feet. I've got a job wiping tables down in a food court in the centre of Brisbane at the moment, but at least it's money coming in and I've got a roof over my head rather than sleeping in my car. And so I guess that's something, you know, I've accomplished something out of that, but reality is that there's a lot of blokes out there, and I'm pushing the plight now for homeless people, and especially men. There are no refuges for men, as far as I understand it. I'll certainly look for them, and when it all hits the roof, there's nowhere for them to go. There's nowhere for help. There seems to be a lot of refuges for women, and rightly so.
Well, the refuges that I've come across when I was a policeman, Tony, were called jails.
Yeah, well, that's true. And I've spent some time not actually in the jail, but cleaning it. but look, you know, that seems to be the problem out here. And I'm certainly trying to raise that issue with a lot of people to say, look, you know, there needs to be something. And maybe we can, just maybe, there might be a chance we could save a few damn marriages. You know, when it all gets wild and terry and people need to get away just for somewhere for some respite and care or whatever. Just to break it, you know, rather than break the marriage, you know, it might just work if we take it around, turn it around the other way, that, you know. See, unfortunately, with a women's refuge, the only way a woman can get in there is by putting an AVO against their partner. Mm. Now, I've spoken to a lot of women that say, look, I don't want to do that. That's not, you know, I just need somewhere to go, and I've got nowhere to go. I just need some, you know, to get away for a bit. You know, I need just a bit of respite, you know.
Unfortunately, numbers keep the funding pumping, don't they?
Well, unfortunately, I think that's the only way that the women's refuges are funded, under that pretext that, you know, that they have to put an AVO against their partner. And in a lot of cases, you know, and I'm not saying in all cases, I'm damn sure there's a lot of people out there where that's probably well deserved, an AVO. But there's also a damn lot of them that's not.
So in your recent unfortunate circumstances being homeless, you've had the opportunity to talk to some of the homeless people in Queensland?
I see them every day, mate.
Is there a common thread, Tony? Is it mental health, or is it that they've been done over by government agencies such as the Child Support Agency?
Look, it's a bit of both. I couldn't say it's all that. There's certainly some mental health issues there, but there's, you know, there's a lot of issues. Where I work, mate, I mean, I carry a microphone thing with me, a little speaker thing that I can call security if there's a problem. I'm told if there's a homeless person walking around inside there, going through the bins looking for a bit of tucker, that I'm supposed to call them and get security and get them out there. I can't do that because I've been there myself. Mm. I've eaten off the tables when somebody's left food around. I've got to tell you, I throw more food out. I could feed a small country in a day than what I throw out of this place. That's just unbelievable. And I can't do it. And in fact, when I get some food that's left on the table, often I'll leave it on top of the bin so the blokes can get it easy without having to rat through the bin, you know. I mean, the system's all wrong. It's just all wrong.
And what do you propose to do to try and make the system right?
Well, I'm asking the politicians to look at up here is the fact of, you know, is there some funding around, especially for Queensland? There's no funding for men's stuff in Queensland whatsoever. I was even talking to a group that's working in suicide prevention in the construction industry up here, AusHelp. Fantastic organisation. You know, they had $1 million worth of funding from the construction sector. The government don't give them a cent. Now, they're out of their funding. They've used what they can. They go and run programs on construction sites. They save a lot of blokes' lives, very similar to what DIDS does, and can't get money. You know, can't get money. You know, surely the government's got to look at this and go dollar for dollar. But unfortunately, we've got a government at the moment where, you know, it's sort of split to two and everyone's fighting or bickering for their part of the action. And,
you know, what's more important is the limo I drive and if it's got a bloody GPS in it or it hasn't, or what sort of plane I'm going to fly when I go overseas, you know. It's just, it's all gone wrong, mate.
All right, Tony. Well, thanks for your time, mate, and congratulations on your involvement with Dads in Distress and certainly being a participant on Dads on the Air over the last decade.
Well, look, mate, honestly, it's not about me today. It should be about you guys and the help that you guys have done. And you guys have done a phenomenal job over the 10 years that you've been doing what you're doing. And, you know, you've reached out to a lot of blokes out there and women, a lot of people that work at the front, and you guys have helped them. And, you know, I honour you blokes today. You know, good luck to you and good on you for doing what you're doing. I know a lot of you do it, you don't get paid, you struggle to get in there, you do what you can. And, mate, you're the blokes that need the bloody medal, not me.
That was Tony Miller, the founder of Dads in Distress, one of the most influential groups in Australia and certainly been a lifesaver for a lot of blokes. Thank you so much. The survival of Dads on the Air, as we were saying, has been a miracle. It's been entirely due to the volunteer efforts of quite a number of people over time. And it's been a very narrow thread some years where we've barely had anyone in the studio. And unlike today, where we've got a whole range of people from original members such as myself and Uncle Buck and a few others who didn't really feel like going on air for various reasons. We've got the new team, which is Bill Cable and Greg Andreessen, Phil York from Dads in Distress, and Ian Purdy, DJ impersonator. We should also mention Lindsay Jackal has been really vital in updating the news services on the website over many years, and Catherine Bennett, who does a lot of the secretarial business. We should also mention Peter Vanderford, who's ever since I found the original interview the other day in early 2006, Peter Vanderford was being interviewed about his CD, The Stolen Children, and he's been an absolute stalwart of the program ever since. Greg Andreessen also came along and really helped to transform the program into a modern well-resourced and much more professional show than the somewhat amateurish efforts of our very early days. My first interview here, we rambled on for 18 minutes, I think, about family law all around the world. So we tested the patience of our listeners to begin with, but now it's a very different and much more professional show, and we've managed to attract a significant number of people to it. There were numerous points over the years when we thought we just would not survive. We've had... And we must thank a lot of the guests that have come on over the years, and the show would not be the show it is today without many of those guests. They've included people from, you know, senior politicians such as Philip Ruddock, the former Attorney General, who came on a number of times. Diana Bryant, who is still the Family Law Chief Justice, came on during the debates over the family law, and we did an hour show on her. There's been Matt O'Connor, for instance, from Fathers for Justice, was one of the world's most famous family law reformers at the time. He came on the show. Of course, we've had all the Australian ones as well. We've had many, many, many authors as well. Warren Farrell, who wrote The Myth of Male Power and Fathers and Child Reunion. The internet has expanded the influence of Dads on the Air from a small community radio show in Western Sydney to the present point where father and childhood activists, academics, authors and commentators from around the world regularly appear on the show, and it has become a standout not just as one of Australia's most successful community radio programs, but literally the world's longest running radio program dedicated to fatherhood issues. Next up on 2GLF, we'll have a country show, but we'll be back, and we'll be back next week. And thank you so much. That was 10 years ago when we were united, a small group, by an overwhelming outrage at the social injustices being perpetrated by Australia's troubled family law and child support systems. We've gone a very long way from those early days, and thank you so much. We're running out of time.
That's about it, I think. We've just about run out. I'm going to get my line in from Borat. Kazakhstan is best country in the world. All of the rest is run by little girls. We're run by little girls. Man up, Australia.
So the survival and ultimate prospering of Australia's world-famous Dads on the Air radio program has been little short of a miracle. Thank you, everyone, for your participation.
We'll be back next week for another show. We look forward to seeing you then. And in the meantime, it's goodbye from all the crew at Dad's on the Air. And we've had a stellar cast today. Everyone from Uncle Buck through to Ian Purdy. Thanks
Bill
again.
Cable.
There you go, the full extreme. The full extreme.
The full extreme. We're Dad's on the Air. We're here because we care. We ask all the questions that others don't dare. We're Dad's on the Air. We're Dad's.